Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Happy Sunday. Happy Christmas Eve. This is Danielle St. John, and you're listening to Seeds of Change. I'm a little bit taken aback because we've been having major technical issues over the last couple of weeks with all of our shows. It has to do with the blog on the Blog Talk side. So I'm stunned that we're here. Mom is here. Mom, if you can hear me, can you please press one? Yes, I think we have a show, you guys. Yay! Woohoo! Hello.
Hi.
I think we have
well,
a show.
I'm excited. I already pressed one.
Okay, hold on.
Wrong.
You must be too excited because you're glitchy.
Oh, my audio's out. Okay, what I said was, it's better. I already pressed one.
It's not better. It's like every other word.
Okay,
hold
so
on.
I need to hang up and come back.
Try that. Okay. See what I mean? Yeah, major glitches. So hang up and we'll talk to you in a second. Yeah, so we're having major glitches on Freedomizer, not just Freedomizer, but across Blog Talk Radio. For the last week or so, we've had an error come up on the top of our studio setting saying that we're currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. Okay, and Mom, okay, let's see. Hello.
I wonder if my audio is better. Is it better?
It's a little better, yes.
So I don't know why I have trouble, because I didn't do anything different. Ah, that's crazy.
I think it has to do with Blog Talk and their issues. But John Michael's with us. Let's see if his audio is any better.
Hi.
Yes, yours is great. Okay, so it might be something with your headset, Mom.
Hey, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Is
Hi, everyone. Hi, friends.
Hello.
You know what? I could even try putting on – I have a microphone, and it has a USB. I could try this out.
Yours is fine. Yours
is
great.
Fine. It's-
oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, you're kind of choppy, Carla.
Can you try to use your computer audio?
I'm going to have a meltdown right here and now. if there's a problem with my microphone, because you know I use this for work. So
that's a little better. That's a little better.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
getting better. Yeah, maybe you weren't close enough to it or something.
Okay.
Now I can hear you perfect.
Oh, great. Thank you, guys. Made me feel so much better. Yay. I was freaking out. Okay. Because, I mean, of course, I'm happy here, but you know I use this phone for work. So I had some auto problems a few weeks ago, and so you kind of freaked me out just now. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy we got to do the show today. That is so exciting. Catherine was asking about being kept posted. Did you send her an invitation, Danielle?
Well, she does it on her phone. I think she called in. Catherine, is that Katie? I think she likes to be called Katie.
Katie.
If that's you, press one. That might be Ty too, though, because they're both. Okay, let's see. Let's see who it is. It's a mystery caller.
Good.
You know, Carla, I hate to break your heart, but you're choppy again.
Oh, no.
I'm really not trying to break your heart, but I also don't want to pretend like you're not breaking up, at least on my end.
No, because audio quality matters. I'm not going to make everybody crazy, so just mute myself. Dang it.
Well, but maybe try, gosh, it really does sound like it's like a loose wire, you know? Okay. Hello to the listener in the chat. It's been quite a while since we've been able to, anybody in Freedomizer has been able to get on. So welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's set up the first. This has been a big thing for our network for the last week. So I'm a little in and out trying to update everybody that I was actually able to get on. The show that I scheduled for last week, I rescheduled for this week, and it was it just disappeared, right? And so a lot of the hosts on this network they schedule their shows weeks in advance. So it's possible that the issue might have some more to do with pre-scheduled shows, because it canceled my show at 3:00. I recreated a show for 3:30, and it seems like we're good. So sorry about that, guys. All right. So the first thing that we've got a lot to talk about this week, because we've been out for a while, but the first thing that I would like to do is we would like to host a debate. And people may not like it. And as a matter of fact, the views that are going to be shared, I don't necessarily agree with or disagree with. But in the interest of debate, I would like to allow John Michael and Mom to discuss the Antichrist, and particularly if Donald Trump is the Antichrist. So I think I might want to flip a coin to see who goes first. I don't know if that's like a sporting event or a debating event kind of situation, but I think that's the fair thing to do.
Do you mind if I just preface this very quickly? Do you mind if
Absolutely.
I just like say a little bit? Okay. So I just want to make clear, I am not anti-Donald Trump. I'm not a Trump hater. I'm definitely not a Democrat. I'm not a I don't say that lightly. I don't say those words lightly, but obviously I believe that he's the Antichrist. I think it's definitely, I wouldn't say I believe 100%, but I would say I'm pretty well convinced out of all the potential people it could be at this point that it's him. And obviously we're going to go into that. But I just want to make clear that I am by no means like a Democrat or a Hillary Clinton fan or, you know, a Barack Obama fan. I'm certainly not any of those things. And I just felt like that needed to be said, because I don't want people to be like, this homosexual over here is, you know.
Well, the caller dropped, so I don't think.
You know, not like that.
The person in the chat dropped. So
they left. They're like, no.
Popular with Blog Talk community, but it's okay. You know, debate is debate, and it needs to happen. And I think that the art of debate has been lost. Or it's endangered. And so I do, fully support. Honestly, I should have made you both research the other side of the argument if we were going to have a true and honest debate. But
Carla sent me her sources, and I know that you sent mine to her. Like, Carla sent me what she believes on the other end of it and why those things she thinks refute what I believe or what I am looking at. And I think it was interesting because she actually chose a couple of the ones that I chose too. And I think we chose them for different reasons. And so I'm interested to see, like, you know, her. Yeah, she sent at least one or two of them that I also had said to you. So I'm interested to see her perspective on it. But, yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing, though. I am not guy with a debate. Bad.
I can't hear you.
I know. Mom, I know. Can you call in on your phone, please? Because it's not a fair debate if we can hear every other word.
It's not cool. Okay. So I 319 phone number.
Yeah, it is, and just for the audience as well. The call-in number, if you want to be a part of the show, is 319-527-6208. So with that, Mom, if you want to hang up and call back in, Yeah, and then we'll continue. You know what, John Michael, since you're here, I'm going to allow you to call it heads or tails.
Okay.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Tails.
Heads. It's heads. So mom goes first. Okay.
Well, mom gets to choose who she thinks should go first.
Oh yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so. While you were gone, you won the coin toss, so you get to choose whether you want to go first or second.
I'm going to go second, but...
I knew it! I knew she was going to do that! That's why I said, no, she gets
the
to choose.
It's a penny a minute, and I have a problem with that. I'm annoyed by that it's a penny a minute for me to fall in.
I know. It's so frustrating. If you want to call back in on the guest host and take off your headset, maybe that'll work. I don't know. Like, what do you want to do? Because I certainly don't want to charge you the penny a minute, but I'm not me charging. I don't charge. But that's T-Mobile. Thanks, T-Mobile. Let's call out T-Mobile for charging a penny a minute to call into Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, geez. Okay. So, go ahead. John Michael, I want to hear why you think, and I'm pretty sure Danielle has your clips queued up, and I sent them to you, but I'm going to send them to Danielle as well so that she can queue them up, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to also say, too, that we're both Christians. We both believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? We both believe that in our hearts, and we've confessed
Amen.
With our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? And that he, you know, is the propitiation for our sins. We're both sinners. We both believe, you know, that we need a Savior, right? And that Savior has a name. His name is Jesus, right? And so I just want to make sure I say that first and foremost, because I don't want to give any – I'm not calling him the Antichrist because, again, it's not like a personal thing. It's a scriptural thing for me. I'm looking at the scriptures, and I'm looking at the things that Donald Trump has said and done that indicates to me that he is at the very minimum an Antichrist, if not the Antichrist. And so the first thing I think that really kind of – raised, and I kind of made points by points, so like, why don't we just all tell you one point and then you can respond to that. But moving the embassy, the capital, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, right? As we all know, that was in, I think, 2017, right? Donald Trump, December 2017, he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And that's, it was a decision that was made as, you know, it was long-term moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And, of course, Jerusalem is important in, you know, both the scriptures, but also in modern-day international relations. It's a divided city, right? There's Muslims, there's Christians, there's Jews. It's a very divided city. And Israel has never had, or since the state was established in, I think, 57, right? They've never had full control of the city. And so,
48.
Of course, I'm sorry?
1948.
Thank you. I think if you look at the peace treaty that the Antichrist, the little horn, right, that's mentioned in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, 27, and also 7:25, if you look, most Christian biblical scholars take that to mean, those two passages to mean, that the Antichrist is going to be responsible for brokering a peace deal of sorts. And when you combine this with the timeline that we're given for the end times in Revelation, most Christian, you know, biblical scholars argue that it will be a 7-year peace treaty, and that the Antichrist will break the peace treaty in the middle of that 7 years. And so I think that move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem was a part of this ultimately overarching plan. I think that's the first thing, right? I'm not saying Jerusalem shouldn't be the capital. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I don't support Israel. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I support Israel either. I think that, again, that's a whole different conversation that I think we've had before. But I certainly raise an eyebrow to the fact that Donald Trump made that decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. And again, the little horn revelation from Daniel tells us that the Antichrist will have a part to play in what goes on in Jerusalem, right?
Okay, I have a question. Are you saying that, okay, so the peace treaty between who? Israel and America?
We're not really sure who the peace treaty is going to be through. They just know that he will cause peace to be established, right? And then, of course, there are other prophecies that point to the fact that Israel will be surrounded by enemies, right? And that's currently and has been for quite some time the situation, right? There's never been a long-lasting, firm treaty that has been made with Israel and some of its neighbors, like Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, right? In fact, about 30 or 40 years ago, I think it was about 40 years ago, Israel fought a war against all of them and won, right? The 7 Days War or something like that, or something like that. But they fought against 7 other countries and they won. And so the overarching idea is that the Antichrist will establish peace between Israel and the rest of the people that it's at war with, right?
Okay. I guess I kind of understand that, but I don't really want to get too much into the debate side of it, because it's between you and Mom. But yeah, we'll have to come back to that one. Mom is back on the computer. Do you want to press 1 or do you want to go through the phone, Mom? Hello.
I'm giving it a try.
Okay, let's try it. Here we go. You might want to mute your phone just to be, because it might give feedback. Hello. Are you there? On your computer? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Is it still choppy?
It seems to be okay now. Okay, John Michael, are you done with your first point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much done with it. I think that, again, that the groundwork is being laid, and we see this conflict in Israel, between Israel and Hamas, allegedly, right? So we see this conflict that's going on, and we're not sure when the end is in sight. And I think I will say this, I think Donald Trump's going to win a second term. I think he will be president again, and I think that he will play a major part in establishing peace between Israel and its enemies. I do think that.
Well, and to your point, the Abraham Accords.
Nope. You're choppy. Can you just unplug your headset and use your internal speakers? Oh, that's a good. Ooh, okay. This is a good question. Can you just use your phone to log in as the guest host? Instead of paying the penny a minute, that's Katie. Katie just thought of that. Hello.
Yeah, it worked for me.
Right. So you're calling in. That. Okay, so you're calling in through your phone.
Yes.
I mean, not calling in, but logging in.
Well, I did call, and you guys accepted the call on air, so I don't know exactly how that works, but here I am.
The problem that's going on is that recently Blog Talk Radio imposed a penny a minute charge for anybody who calls in through their carrier, through T-Mobile. Yeah, assholes. Sorry, but...
Just T-Mobile? Or, I mean, is
just
that...
T-Mobile.
Maybe that's
just T-Mobile.
Question.
What? Yep.
And your mom has T-Mobile?
Yep.
Maybe it's time to switch carriers.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah, exactly. So, Mom, are you there? She's logged in through her computer. still having technical issues. Sorry, guys. Let's see.
Yeah, just try some different ways to log in or just pay a penny a minute. I mean, that's not really going to amount to much.
Maybe that's true.
50 or something. Those little fees too, but then sometimes it's just easier to give in.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Okay, so mom just dropped off. She's probably going to call back in on her phone. She just logged out of the computer.
This is an interesting debate. I was not expecting this.
Yeah, I know. So John Michael, this is just how it started. John Michael posted that he thought that Trump was the Antichrist. And my mom said, let's debate. And so this is obviously a great forum for that. So mom is back with us on the phone, I think.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like I hate the guy. I'm not one of those people who sits around plotting. And I never really post about politics anymore because I feel like politics has failed us. And I don't think that the solution can be found in a politician, if that makes sense. Because for me, the solution to everything is Jesus, right? And so I'm not saying this because I'm like some political junkie who gets his rocks off by making, you know, fun of Donald Trump or no, that's not what it is at all. I do think we're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to be vigilant. It says, you know, in the Word of God, it says that the devil roams the world like a hungry lion seeking someone to devour. And I think, you know, just based on and I meant to kind of talk about this. I don't mean to go back into my time. Is your mom there? Or?
Yeah, she's here. Back. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say for the sake of definitions, if you don't mind, I think we should also define what Christ means because people think Jesus Christ, they think Christ is a name, right? Like it's his last name or something. And I know you know this as well, Carla. And so I'm just saying this for the audience, right? Christ is a title. It means the anointed one, right? Or in our modern day parlance, we would probably say like the chosen one, right? So Christ is a title. It comes from the Greek Christos, which means to anoint or to be anointed, right? So it's the anointed one is what we're...
Are you telling me that H is not his middle name?
if the H stands for holy, it might be. It might be if the H stands for holy.
Yeah,
I just
want to
chime in really quick because I'm not going to be here that long and I apologize for stepping on the debate, but Christ can also mean Christ consciousness. Like if you look at Yogananda Paramahansa or other gurus, they talk a lot about consciousness. So that would be enlightenment. And William Blake, the poet, said that the second coming of Christ would be Christ consciousness within individuals. So Antichrist could also be looked at as going against the divine within or the divine within humanity. So
that's a good point.
I can't see Donald Trump myself personally as Antichrist because I don't see him doing that. But that is just me. I'm not a biblical scholar. I was in Christian elementary school for a few years when I was a kid, and so I do know some about the Bible, but I would have to really study what is the, you know, prerequisite for the Antichrist. This sounds dumb, right? But I see Donald Trump more as obviously not enlightened and not like as benevolent as Jesus or as enlightened as Jesus, but as almost like a Jesus figure just because he's been so incredibly maligned and persecuted. And he's, you know, now there's a lot of talk about him worrying about being assassinated. So anyway, that's just my two cents. I wanted to chime in about Christ consciousness and my perception about the meaning of Christ and Antichrist. So thank you for letting me speak.
Awesome. And then you'll join us back after 5, right?
Well, I've got to go to a little Christmas thing, but I can, if you'll be on the air a while, I'll try to hop back on.
If you could, that'd be great. If not, I know it's Christmas Eve, and we just appreciate any time you can give us. So, if you can jump back in, we would love your contribution. Yeah. If not, you have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thanks. I will try my best.
Okay.
Merry Christmas to you and to everybody. Here.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Mom, you're back. So, it's back to you.
Okay. So, I did a search, which started me off, and just like John Michael said, we came up with the same scriptures, apparently. It says, the scripture says, 1 John 2:22, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Again, in 1 John 4:3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. This was back during biblical times. The other thing that I found interesting, and I'm going to read the final scripture in a moment, is that not only do they say Antichrist, but they say Antichrist. It's singular and plural. I hope you guys can hear me okay. How's the quality?
It's, yeah, better than the microphone.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. The last scripture is 2 John 1:7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So one of the things that we know about spiritual warfare and demonic activity is that they, first of all, have to tell us who they are. They're required to, by the power and the might of Jesus Christ, through the power of his name. So John Michael is correct. Both of us are Bible-believing Christians. And both of us, I would say, are almost to the point of being Bible thumpers, which is okay with me. Which is okay with me. I will thump the Bible. I will say the name of Jesus, because that is the name above all names. Okay.
Amen.
But what it says is that the Antichrist denies the Father and the Son. And every time they speak of the Antichrist, it says that he cannot and will not acknowledge Jesus Christ. So,
well, and it's interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carla.
So that's one of the sort of benchmarks that when I am following someone, quote, unquote, or allowing someone for their opinions and for their into my world, I suppose, or whether I reject them or not, is how they talk about my Jesus. And so if they deny the Christ, if they don't talk about him in a loving, God-filled, spirit-filled way, well, then I refuse to allow any of their other opinions or power to enter into my space.
Amen.
So years ago, when Donald Trump came onto the scene, there were a lot of people going, this is a bad guy. He's a sinner. I'm like, yeah, well, I know about sinners. that doesn't make me hate him. Okay. As a matter of fact, if any time you go on any one of these social media sites, well, you can't be a good person if you like Donald Trump because he does bad things. I'm like, wait, that's exactly who Christ died for.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
So we
no, certainly,
there.
And that's why I didn't start with his behavior because, and in fact, none of what I wrote down has anything to do with his particular behavior. But I do like something that you just said. You said that you judge someone by how they talk about Jesus. And I've been looking on the internet all afternoon, and I was only able to find one or two times that Donald Trump mentioned Jesus by name.
Hold on. Oh. So I sent three of the literally hundreds of them. He talks about Jesus Christ at just about every single one of his rallies. That's how I know. The other
okay.
Reason
shall,
why
shall I,
I
play? One, shall I play one of them?
Play one of them.
Okay. 33 seconds. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
I'm looking up to this guy. A friend of mine said, "You know, you're the most famous man in the world." I said, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." No, he said, "No. Who's more famous than you? You are the most famous man in the world. What are you talking about? Who's more famous?" I said, "Jesus Christ."
Okay, so hold on.
And
gets
I don't
a big
want to
round
take
of
any
applause.
Chances. So I looked up and I said, and it's not even close.
Okay. So that's one.
Play the next.
Yep, here we go. Three, two, one. Go.
For too long, politicians have tried, oh, have they tried, to centralize authority among the hands of a small few in our nation's capital. I see them all the time. Bureaucrats think they can run over your lives, overrule your values, meddle in your faith, and tell you how to live, what to say, and where to pray.
One second.
Good God, babe.
She has a puppy.
Sorry, I've got dogs in the background. You know how it works. But, like, yeah. Hold on.
All right, here we go.
But we know that parents, not bureaucrats, know best how to raise their children and create a thriving society. And we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community. And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God.
Okay,
is enshrined.
Okay. All right.
The third one is where the Pope, which, by the way, there's an antichrist, one of the antichrists roaming the world right now. I believe that the man that's in the pontifex right now might fit the bill. The other thing that, back to, first of all, I want to get to your point about the peace accords, okay, because that
well,
is
okay,
one of the
but can we play this video for, or this audio first, and then we can go let him respond. Well, actually, no, you did start out when you were having poor audio about the Abraham Accord. So you want to, if you want to go with that, that's fine.
Yeah, so John Michael's correct. That is one of the indicators of someone coming in and creating peace with Israel and its neighbors, okay? And his son-in-law and a bunch of people behind the scenes, for the first time since the temple got kicked down, they signed a peace accord with, you know, five nations surrounding Israel. And so that is one of the indicators. John Michael is correct about that. Okay. At that time, no one said it could be done for you know, 50, 60, 100 years of, like, oh, they'll never stop fighting. And then all of a sudden the peace accords get signed. And I remember reading some scriptural references and some Bible studies about that is one of the indicators that of the Antichrist. But it says, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to let you play this last clip, Danielle, in just a minute. It says that that the Antichrist will come from the church. I would not call Donald Trump from the church. He's just a guy, okay? It says...
Right. I'm sorry, I'm not going to enter. Yeah, I said right, but I'm going to retract that because I'm just the moderator.
Where does it say? Oh gosh, it's in Revelation of there's a reference that the Antichrist will come from the church itself, out of the church, out of Rome. Okay. Some people believe that the Antichrist is going to be a Jew. A paper that I read today kind of goes against that because of the Book of Dan. I don't think that it will be a Jew. I believe it will be somebody that comes, be a Gentile that comes out of our church, our very own Christian church. Anyway, those are the reasons. But so then I go back to my belief that possibly the current pontifex is one of the Antichrist. And you can play the video, the third video from the Pope to about the Pope.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. Again, 3, 2, 1. Hold on. It just glitched out. 3, 2, 1.
So I just wrote this out very quickly about the Pope. Do you want to hear it? Should I read it to you? Okay. He actually said that maybe I'm not a good Christian or something. It's unbelievable, which is really not a nice thing to say. So it's a response from Donald Trump. It says, if and when the Vatican is attacked by ISIS, you know, ISIS, their primary trophy, very few people know this. I read this about 2 months ago. Nobody even believed it. Their primary thing, you've seen what they've done all over the Middle East. Their primary goal is to get to the Vatican. That would be their ultimate trophy. They want to do what they did to all of these magnificent artifacts and all of the beautiful museums that they've totally destroyed all over the Middle East, right? There, and I didn't know this. I read this like 4 or 5 months ago. I made mention of it 2 months ago. And everyone said, what are you talking about? They thought, like, I'm kidding. It's true. And now there are stories about it. Not big stories, but there are stories about it. And I was checked by one of the reporters that said, they don't want to talk about them. Then he called up and apologized. The big thing, they want to get to the Vatican. So if and when the Vatican is attacked by ISIS, which, as everyone knows, is ISIS's ultimate trophy, I can promise you that the Pope would have only wished and prayed that Donald Trump would have been president. Because it's true. Because this would not have happened. ISIS would have been eradicated, unlike what is happening now, with our all talk, no action politicians. That's what's happening now. We had a General MacArthur. If we had a General George Patton, I mean, they'd be gone before they even got time to go over and check it out, okay? It's a ridiculous situation. The Mexican government and its leadership has made many disparaging remarks about me. See, the Pope was in Mexico. The leadership's meeting, oh, Donald Trump is a bad guy. He wants to build a wall. He wants to keep illegal immigration. It's terrible. They don't say it that way. They say he wants people to stop having this and that. Look, I'm wise to them. I respect Mexico. I respect their leadership. Their leadership is much smarter, much sharper than our leadership. And that's the problem. That's the problem. You know, we have a trade deficit with Mexico. Listen to this one. $58 billion. So when I say we're going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it, these politicians all come up and they say, you can't get Mexico to pass it. Yes, I can. They have no idea what I'm even talking about. You people do because you have some business people here, some good business people. Some of them I know. But Mexico's going to pay because the wall is $12 billion, $10 to $12 billion. That's a super job, okay? That's if you do a Trump wall, okay? Really nice job. Nice high wall. This is not a wall that they're going to drive their trucks over.
Okay, you can now, stop it now.
When we have a deficit.
Okay.
Okay. There's two other points that I want to make, and then I'm going to let John Michael refute all of the stuff I just put out. Okay, the first being that all the right demons, Donald Trump, they literally killed 3 million people to get rid of this guy. They used the power and the might of the federal government from the day he came down this elevator to get him out. The other thing that leads me to believe that it's not true. Oh God, it just went right back out of my frickin' brain. All the right deep state lizard head pieces of crap that have gone after him with everything they've got, literally, leads me to believe that he's the right guy for the job. I don't think he's, I don't worship him. I worship God. I worship Jesus Christ. I just think Donald Trump is, and according to all the evidence, because of who's attacking him, is who was chosen by the Lord, because nothing happens but for God choosing it and allowing it. That's what I got. Go ahead. Take it away.
Okay, John Michael.
Yeah, so I was taking notes as you were writing here, and what I noticed in all three videos is that I did not hear Donald Trump, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I heard him say in the first video that Jesus Christ is the only person more famous than him, which is a given, obviously. That's not confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? I heard him say that we worship God, but the question I always ask, and I'm sure that Carla can agree with this, whenever someone tells me that they love God, the question I always ask is, which God, right? Because for me, God has a name, right? He has a name, and so from my perspective, again, that I watched the videos you sent me earlier because I was like, maybe I missed something. What I did find, though, in other, you know, evidence to support my stance is that Donald Trump said that he didn't need forgiveness. I mean, it's not like I found this on a mainstream site. I know you guys are kind of picky about your sources. I actually found this on the Christian News, right? Premier Christian.
Yes. Yes. He definitely said that.
No, Mom. It's his turn.
Go ahead.
And so what I noticed here is, again, and you agree he said that. That's great. We agree then that he said he did not need God's forgiveness. And even when it was followed up with him, I'm quoting his response here, Trump replied, "I will be asking for forgiveness, but hopefully I won't have to be asking for much forgiveness." I think we can both agree that if you don't feel like you need to ask for forgiveness, then what you're essentially saying is that Jesus' blood is not good enough for you and that you don't need him. Or worse, you are saying that you have lived a sinless, perfect life. And the only man that I know that has lived a sinless, perfect life is, again, Jesus Christ. I was also able to find another, you know, article that made me go, oh, I didn't even know this part, right? He says he believes in God. Okay, but again, the question is, which God, right? He calls himself a Christian, but, you know, I kind of tend to don't really like to call myself a Christian. I prefer to say that I follow Jesus Christ because, unfortunately, there are so many people, as Jesus said there would be, who claim that they follow Jesus, right, or that they are Christian. And, unfortunately, they don't have the correct idea about who Jesus is. And I believe that Donald Trump is one of those people. He didn't say that Jesus Christ is his Lord. On the opposite end, he said he didn't think he needed forgiveness. That's such an essential part of being a Christian. And again, to say we worship God, the question is, which God do you worship? I was also, you know, looking through here and I, you know, again, he does not deny worship. I'd like to read you something that Donald Trump retweeted. Let me see if I can find it here, that he retweeted from somebody who was calling him the King of Israel, who said that he is the Savior. He himself said, and Danielle, if you would don't mind playing the clip that I sent you where Donald Trump calls himself the Chosen One. In other words, Donald Trump himself has proclaimed that he is the Christ. He called himself the Chosen One. That is what Christ means. It means the Chosen One. And I know Katie mentioned a couple of other you know, ways that it can be applied. I don't agree with her. I love her, but I don't agree with her. I think that the Christ can only be applied to one person. And again, to deny that is to deny Jesus, right? Because if you take away from Jesus's holiness, his uniqueness, him being the Christ, and say that it can be applied to other people, you're demeaning him as you know, the word that became flesh. So Danielle, would you play my clip where Donald Trump said very clearly that he is the Chosen One?
Yeah, I will. This is getting really hard for me because I'm sorry. Right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, come in. Come on. There you go.
Fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well. But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me. My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. Where they want to make a deal, probably we will make a deal, but if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing this, somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So
you can
I'm
stop
taking
it right
on
there,
China.
No.
I'm taking on China on trade. And you know,
I have to interject. He was talking about being the chosen one to take on China. But go ahead.
Yeah, and I understand that he was talking about being the chosen one to take on China, but how far of a leap is it to say I am the chosen one to save the world, because that is the message that he's trying to communicate. I would like to read you this, a couple of other things as well. I'm reading a tweet from Donald Trump, August 21st, 2019. Thank you to Wayne Allen Root for the very nice words. That is the quote from Donald Trump. This is the quote from the other, I'm assuming from Wayne Allen Root here. Yes, it is. It says, President Trump is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world, not just America. He is the best president for Israel in the history of the world, and the Jewish people in Israel love him, like he's the king of Israel. They love him like he's the second coming of God. But American Jews don't know him or like him. They don't even know what they're saying or doing anymore. It makes no sense, but that's okay. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's good for, and then it cuts off. But I do want to read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So Donald Trump has called himself the chosen one, and I will admit, yes, he called himself the chosen one in this limited circumstance, sure. But when we combine to have the mentality to be able to take a title like Christ for yourself, and the word Christ is applied to other things in the Septuagint, right? Like David was Christos or anointed to be king, right? It is applied to other things as well. Perhaps, you know, he was saying he's been anointed to deal with China. And certainly I would say that that's not, you know, untrue. He's certainly a tool of God for good or for evil. Either way, everything is the Lord's, right? But my point here is, why would Donald Trump retweet this when clearly I know the king of Israel, the real king of Israel, is Jesus Christ? In fact, INRI, which is the inscription that was on the cross that Jesus was hung from, means Iesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaea, or Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, or King of Israel, right? Pontius Pilate asked Jesus if he was the King of the Jews or of Israel, right? And so we see the second coming of God. They love him like he's the second coming of God. I'm not saying he's flat out said these things yet, but how far are we going to allow that to go? And if you're able to say that and to really legitimately say, those are really nice words, any person who truly knows Jesus, I mean, if someone told me that I was the second coming of Jesus, I would probably cry, because I'm the foremost among sinners, to quote Paul. And so this idea that, you know, that he is the second coming of God is not one that's not, you know, I've seen videos. I saw the videos of people telling him that he is the second coming of Christ. And I just have one more point before I pass the mic back to Carla here. His conduct and his behavior outside of all the other stuff, I'm not talking about his sins. I'm talking about the things that he's allowing, the adulation that people are showering on him, the way that he is allowing himself to be compared to God is very antichrist behavior. And again, when you combine that with the fact that I've never heard the man say that Jesus Christ is Lord, quite the opposite, because again, you can say Jesus Christ is Lord, but if you do not, Paul said in Romans, you have to believe in your heart, right, that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth. I didn't hear it in any of the videos that you played for Carla. I didn't hear a single time. What I did hear him say is, again, Jesus is the most famous person in the world. That's a given. I mean, yeah, of course he is, right? To be quite honest, I heard a little bit of a false modesty there. Like, I'm just saying that because I know that that's going to play over well with the crowd, but I don't really actually believe that. And that's my opinion. Maybe that's my discernment.
I'm really sorry. I did not mean to unmute yet.
Stop.
Sorry.
And yeah, just and again, I hear him saying Christian, but what does that mean? The Lord said, many will come up to me and say, Lord, Lord. Jesus, in fact, told Pharisees, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I said to do, right? Many will come up to me in those last days saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do this? Again, the point of that is the basis of our salvation is in Christ alone. It's in the fact that he died for our sins, and Donald Trump doesn't feel like he needs to have forgiveness for his sins. Those are his words, not mine.
Okay. I don't want to double team on this, but I have a question for both of you. The scripture that says many are called and few are chosen, what does that mean to a Christian? Let's start with Mom.
Let Carla go first. I've been chatting for a minute here. I would love to hear more from Carla.
Okay, so what that means is that we all fall short of the glory of God, including the flawed human being named Donald J. Trump. So keep in mind that this guy is not on the same level in relation to how he talks about Jesus, okay? You and I talk about him every day, John Michael. This guy doesn't. He's a businessman. He's a foul-mouthed New Yorker. For goodness sake. And guess who God chose? A foul-mouthed New Yorker. Because nothing happens without...
Well, not just one. Not just a foul-mouthed New Yorker.
No, he's smart and he's funny and he loves the Lord. Okay. Also, keeping in mind, you said yourself, John Michael, that he said, well, I hope I only need to be forgiven for a little bit. Let me just tell you, that interview that you played, I didn't like it either. Okay? No, I don't need to be forgiven. He absolutely said that. And the reason why he talks that way is because they have been going after him with everything they've got. So every time they would ask one question, well, don't you feel bad for some of the things you've done? Don't you think you need to be forgiven? He's backed into a corner again. Like, if I say this right now, then that's all you'll hear for the next 6 days, okay? So what is it you need to be forgiven for? What bad things have you done? Tell us, right? So, and then he followed up with, well, I might need to be forgiven for a little bit. Look, he's certainly not humble, okay? But he's not the Antichrist. He's just a flawed human being that our Lord chose to do a job. Okay? That is what I think. Now, having said that, I will tell you that there's been lots of things that have flown out of this guy's mouth that made me uncomfortable. But the good news is that God picked a flawed human being. He's not perfect, okay? But he's certainly not the Antichrist, John Michael. Nothing that you have said convinces me to do spiritual destruction to the people of this country or the world. Not anything that you said. And I love you, and I care about what, you know, the things that you say and what you believe. And here's the thing, watch. Our job is to watch. And if you see something or hear something that bothers you, certainly call it out. But that doesn't make this guy the Antichrist. You know, just my opinion.
Certainly a sinner.
Certainly a sinner. Thank God that we have Jesus.
Okay, another question. If I called myself chosen, would I be considered an antichrist?
No, because all of us are chosen.
Well, well, not all of us. Many are called, few are chosen.
Right. I'm talking about the people in this call. Thank goodness we were chosen. We were called by
Amen. Me. John Michael?
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to respond to that?
To your original question, yeah, sure. I think many are called, but few are chosen. You know, I'm kind of one of the people who feels that, like, everyone is called, right? Everyone is called. And based on your response to that call, you know, Jesus said no one can come to the Father except through him, right? He also said that no one can come to him unless the Father draws them. So it's almost like this kind of like feedback loop, right? You can't go to Jesus unless God calls you. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus, right? And so this idea that I think of it is, Jesus tells the parable of the sign net, right? The net that goes out into the water, and a sign net has weights that are on the bottom, and it drags against the ocean floor. And so the fishermen would pull this giant net across this, you know, the lake or the ocean, right? And it would gather all the different types of fish, right? And Jesus tells the parable. He says that the fishermen, they cast the sign net, and they drag all the different kinds of fish that are all there, right? And then they take it to the shore, and then the second half of the work begins, right? The other fishermen that are on the shore begin to sort the catch, right? So I'm certainly, again, I'm not trying to say that I don't like Donald Trump. I'm not, you know, I'll be the first one to come back on your show and apologize if I'm incorrect about my, you know, my instinct on it or my discernment on this, right? I'll be the first one to apologize to him in heaven one day if I'm wrong, right? I'll be the first one, although I don't know if apologies will necessarily matter in heaven, right? Because it's no one will remember the things of this world or care about them, right? They won't come to mind anymore. But my point is that as far as like the chosen part of many are called and few are chosen, I think you have to kind of choose to be chosen, right? And again, I'm not saying that, you know, Donald, I'm really not trying to pick apart or be a fruit inspector for someone else. I'm merely pointing out, and I'm trying to do my best to be a watch person, right? A watchman or watchwoman, right? I'm doing my best to try to keep an eye on things and to look at things objectively. And again, I don't hate the man. I don't dislike him. I think that the scriptures talk about the Antichrist suffering a head wound, and I think his losing the election or I know you guys are on the mindset of he won it and it was stolen. Okay, sure, right?
Yeah,
whatever you want to call it. Okay, sure, right. But my point is, I think that that's the wound that he suffered, if that makes sense, that he was removed, right? He was removed from office. I don't know. And I mean, if we go by the idea of which I believe as well, that all power comes from God. You couldn't become president and Godless unless God wanted you to be. Why would God allow the election to be stolen from him unless there was a greater purpose behind it, right? And so
not godly.
Yeah,
we do live in a world that's not godly, but again, all power comes from God. The President of the United States has an immense amount of power. In fact, many would argue that he has the most power of any man or woman on the planet, right? So again, if God, all power comes from God, and God anoints people for office, right, puts people that he wants in office, why would he have allowed Donald Trump to be removed?
I disagree with that. I disagree. I mean, in a
Which
world
part?
Full of demons and sin
and all of that, I disagree at this point that God puts all, you know, through his power, puts all people into office.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's the secondary here. But again, this man has not denied that he is the king of Israel, or that he is like the king of Israel. He has not denied that he is the chosen one, or like the chosen one. He has not denied that he is, you know, the, what was the third one there that I read? I've got so many tabs open because I've been going through everything here, but he's not denied essentially that, or that he's a second coming of God, right? He has not denied those things. Again, I don't know if he's truly a believer or not. I hope so. I hope I'm wrong, right? I mean, I'm not sitting here like hoping that I'm right and that, you know, because I'm secretly rooting for Donald Trump's ultimate destruction, because let's be clear, the Antichrist will ultimately be destroyed and tossed into the lake of fire, right, where he will spend all eternity. The Bible says that the screams of their torment will raise up to heaven, the smoke and screams of their torment day and night, right? So I'm certainly not like sitting here rooting for him to be the Antichrist so that, you know, that he can enjoy that faith. That's not it at all. But I do think your second question was, if we call ourselves chosen, are we Antichrist? No, because there's a difference between saying you're the chosen one and chosen, right? And as Carla pointed out, it's to deny that Jesus is the Christ. That is what makes one an Antichrist. And in fact, I think in 2 John, he also goes on to say that it's someone who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh. How could Donald Trump say that he's like the second coming of God, but also believe that Jesus is coming back in the flesh? He's clearly not Jesus, right? He wasn't crucified. He wasn't, does he have the marks on his hand?
You're basing that premise that he's saying that he he's the second coming of God because he retweeted something?
I mean, if you tweeted that you thought I was the second coming of Jesus, I would absolutely be horrified, and I would definitely not retweet it, and I would certainly tell you that your belief was sincerely misplaced, and again, if I truly confessed with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then I would lovingly and carefully redirect you back to the scriptures showing that reasons why that is not the truth, right?
I can agree with that. And Jesus said, you know, many, many times, none is good but God. No, no, no. Like, because people try to worship him all the time, right?
Jesus accepted worship from people, right? Jesus accepted worship from people because yes, he did. John chapter 20, Thomas says to the apostles, I will not believe that Jesus has come back or that he's alive until I see him and I put my finger through the print on his hands. When Jesus sees Thomas, he says, Thomas, put your fingers through the hand, put your hand into my side, touch me and see and believe and do not be unbelieving. And Thomas's response is, my Lord and my God. That's not the only time that people called Jesus God and that he did not correct them. Jesus being perfectly sinless, telling the truth at all times, actually being the truth and the life and the way, if he was not Thomas's God and his Lord, why didn't he correct Thomas?
I'm talking about while he was alive.
This is after he was resurrected. Jesus said after he was resurrected that I am alive and I will be alive forevermore.
So unless Trump is dead, that doesn't apply. What I'm saying is that while Jesus was alive, he said, none is good but God. I'll sit on the right hand of God. Get up. I am not God. That the whole time he was here, he didn't do that. Now, Mom just sent me something. Donald Trump, powerful speech. Jesus Christ, Savior of America. Would you like me to play that, Mom?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I would, actually.
Oh, no. That's a 34-minute one. We don't want that.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, I actually listened to it earlier, and I was searching for that that specific. But again, that's a gross understatement of who Jesus is. Jesus is not the savior of America. He is the savior of the world.
I'm certainly not going to play the whole thing, but did he say that Christ is savior?
I did not find it. I was trying to listen to it, and the first few minutes of it were like totally blank. It was just like American flags, it looked like. So I didn't find it. But, you know, I did want to point out, just to kind of go on the track that we're going on as far as, is Jesus God? Behold, this is Isaiah that Matthew 1:23 is quoting for. Behold,
that's
the
not
virgin.
The debate. I don't think that it's right to go into that. I'm not prepared for that debate. I'm not even part of this debate, but I will have many, many things to say, including that when Jesus Christ says many, many, many times that he's not God, and there's one John 1:1 that everybody brings up that says that, you know, that he is God, we need to have a translational debate about that, because there's clearly a contradiction. And I don't believe in contradictions in the Bible. I believe that John 1:1 is a mistranslation. So the debate is whether or not Trump is the Antichrist. And let's stick with that until we can have another debate about if Jesus is God. Are we good with that? Oh, here we go. Here's the one, I think, that – no, that's the American
Just
flag
as long
one.
As we're clear that I do believe that Jesus Christ is God.
Okay.
Jesus
and
said he
I, just
father,
as long as we're clear that
so
I don't believe he is.
There. Okay.
So maybe I'm the Antichrist. I don't know. I don't see the one that you just sent me, Mom, that I just played,
okay.
That kept playing. Let's see.
So this one is 34 minutes.
Yeah, and I know, like, the first few minutes is not...
As the speech price is the same.
Go ahead.
You want me to say it again?
I got it.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Come on up, Mr. President.
I don't know. I can't really justify a 34-minute.
It's fine. Listen, I have loved every minute of this, because guess how many times Jesus Christ got mentioned on this show? And isn't that a beautiful, beautiful thing?
Amen.
Yes. I found it. Oh, I found it. Hold on.
Go.
Melania and I would like to wish everyone a happy, joyous, and wonderful Christmas season. In this holy time of year, Christians everywhere give thanks that over 2,000 years ago, God sent his only son into the world to be the savior of all mankind. The birth of Jesus Christ is the true miracle we celebrate each Christmas. He is the ultimate source of our joy, our hope, and our sense of peace and goodwill as we gather with family and loved ones. It is such a great time of the year. This is why we can never stop saying that beautiful phrase, Merry Christmas. This holiday we give thanks for many blessings God has bestowed upon us. We pray for the safety of our men and women in uniform at home and abroad. And we ask God to guide us, give us strength, and watch over us in this pivotal year ahead. With his help, by this time next year, we will be well on our way to making America safer, stronger, greater, and more prosperous than ever before. Once again, Melania and I wish you a very Merry Christmas. God bless you all. May 2024 be the best year of our lives.
Okay. All right. So there's that.
Close we're looking for, isn't it?
I still didn't hear what I'm looking for now. I didn't hear. I heard him say that Jesus is...
This is the problem. He's not doing it right. Guess what? Only people like you and I do it right, because we study, we pray, we go to church, okay? Flawed human... It was pretty freaking close to what you were saying. He's never said that. Guess what? He says it all the time. He says it different ways. It might not be exactly what you want to hear, John Michael, because it doesn't fit your premise. But let me just tell you, the man loves the Lord.
And of course,
and honestly, and according to John Michael, I'm also the Antichrist, because I don't think that Jesus is
God.
Well,
that is not what I said. That's actually pretty insulting, Danielle, because that's not what I said at all. I didn't say that at all.
Well, I know, but I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe that he is the bridge and the only way, but that doesn't mean I think he's God.
Okay.
And what God? You know, that's what you said about Trump. What God is he worshiping?
So that's a debate for another day. And this one, I'm telling you, John Michael, my kid has rattled my cage with this for about the last 10 years. It makes me effing crazy. I probably shouldn't say that when we're talking about the Lord. And guess what? We all love Jesus. All of us in this call. And I am so grateful that God sent his only son to be born as a baby in a manger tonight. We're celebrating it again tonight, even though Danielle doesn't think Christmas Eve is the night.
Yeah, I don't believe it was. I think it was September 11th,
came into this world to save us. And millions and millions and millions of people are going to heaven because they confess with their mouth and believe with their heart that Jesus Christ is our salvation. And I love having this conversation today because, you know, we live in a pretty secular world. And you and I, John Michael, every day talking back and forth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ blesses my heart. And to hear my kid talking, saying the name of Jesus, and to hear you saying the name of Jesus over and over again today has been so good. He is Lord. And the good news is that all that Antichrist stuff, I read the end of the book, and that lying, cheating, thieving devil loses. He dies. And God wins.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he can use flawed human beings like Donald J. Trump if he wants to or not. He can certainly use a stumbling, bumbling sinner like me, been to prison 6 times and jacked off my family, did all kinds of just crummy, crummy stuff. And I remember you said his sin is not the issue here, because God knows Donald Trump is a sinner. So am I. We sure would love it if he would not be so ineloquent. And sometimes he's been extraordinarily eloquent about who he is in Christ. And I know you haven't heard it exactly the way you want to. The man loves the Lord. And the Antichrist cannot.
Amen.
Yeah, I do believe that he loves the Lord, and I believe that he believes that he's the Lord. And that's what I think. And again, you're correct. It's wonderful that we were able to magnify the name of the Lord. Absolutely. And I didn't come into this conversation expecting to change your mind or to convince either one of you. And I know
it was gonna be fun, wasn't it? We were gonna have some fun and kick this around, weren't we?
And again, I'm sorry if I insulted you. I really do. If I offended you, I'm really sorry about that. I truly ask for your forgiveness for that. You know, go ahead.
And me too. Sorry for interrupting. We both interrupted. I apologize.
That's okay. That's kind of what's been going on the whole time. And that's, you know, I totally forgive you, and it's no hard feelings at all. I just, you know, I did my best to present my point of view respectfully. And so if I offended either one of you in any way or made you feel like that I wasn't taking your viewpoint seriously, then I also sincerely apologize, because again, it's not that I hate the man. It's not that I don't like him. It's not that, I just have, you know, spent a lot of time in prayerful consideration, and that is the conclusion that I've come to. And I'll be the first one to admit that I'm incorrect if and when that happens. And again, I do think he loves the Lord. I think he thinks he's the Lord. And you know, that's again opinion. And again, it's based on discernment as well. I mean, discerning, my friend taught me this, and I'm going to say this, and I have to actually take off because I got to go do a check-in on a cat. But a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine who actually recently committed suicide, a brother of ours that committed suicide, he said to me once upon a time that you have to when someone says something, you've got to read the black and you've got to read the white, right? So what they said is the black. Imagine a piece of paper that you write on with a black pen, right? What they wrote is the black, or what they said is the black, but what they meant is the white. And when I hear Donald Trump's words, I, you know, thankfully I have been gifted with a spirit of discernment because of the Holy Spirit. You know, everything good in me is from God. There's nothing good about me, right? And so seeing what Donald Trump is saying, I understand why you feel the way that you do, Carla. I understand why you think that he loves the Lord, but I'm reading the white. And I see behind it. And again, I'm not picking on him. I think all the politicians are all devil worshipers, right? Like, I think they're all devil worshipers. I mean, in some way or another. But I certainly think the Lord, again, has authority over who sits in what seat and when and where and how. He told us he does, right? And so that's my opinion. But I do have to go. I love you guys both, and I'll talk to you soon.
We love you,
Peace.
Too.
Be a part of us. We love you.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
So we can do a truncated good news report if you'd
Please.
Like, because I have a ton of good news. The first being that the Supreme Court has denied Jack Smith's request to move up, go fast, skip over the appellate part of a big, super important question, which is, does Donald J. Trump have 100% immunity as president for any of the things that he supposedly has been accused of? That question is moving through the appellate court as we speak, and Jack Smith tried to play leapfrog and go directly to the Supreme Court and request that they hear his case because it's so important that it get done, and he didn't use these words, before the election, which should tell you everything you need to know, that it's political, that it is political what these people are doing. And I will tell you that I have evidence that it says U.S. turned regime change tactics developed abroad against Trump, evidence suggests. So this is what they're calling a color revolution, which is what the CIA has been doing all over the world for the last 60, 70, who knows, 80 years, okay? So they're doing another full court press against him, which is, again, as far as I'm concerned, evidence that he's not the Antichrist. And I love John Michael. And he brought some really, really good evidence to support his side of it, okay, certainly. But the facts are that every demon, since this got started, they have come up out of the shadows to try to slash this man, okay? And so
it's really interesting, just really quick, that one of the pieces of evidence that we didn't get to from John Michael was Anderson Cooper, who is a demon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And that doesn't really reflect on him as a reason to not play it. But go ahead. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, it was interesting. I was actually waiting for him to ask you to play that clip, and so he didn't. Okay, so Jack Smith was denied his leapfrog craziness with the presidential immunity case, and we have celebrated that. It came out on the Friday the 23rd of December. So we all considered that a wonderful Christmas present to the Make America Great Again crew. About the same time, though, the state of Colorado said that they were removing Donald J. Trump from the ballot, right? So we win one, and then one really crazy thing also happens. The state of Colorado said that because he was guilty of insurrection, that they were removing him from the ballot in the state of Colorado, which didn't make a lick of sense to most of the pundits. They said, no, Donald Trump has never been charged, nor has he been convicted
of insurrection against the government. So your premise is flawed. Turns out they knew it was too, because they, the state of Colorado themselves, have already stayed their own order. Okay. They said, well, it looks like it's going to the Supreme Court, so we'll just wait. Okay. Therefore, to maintain the status quo pending any review by the U.S. Supreme Court, we stay our ruling until January 4th, 2024, the day before the secretary's deadline to certify the content of the presidential primary ballot. If review is sought in the Supreme Court before the stay expires on January 4th, 2024, then the stay shall remain in place, and the secretary will continue to be required to include President Trump's name on the 2024 presidential primary ballot until the receipt of any order or mandate from the Supreme Court. So the Colorado Supreme Court already understands that what they did was unconstitutional and incorrect. They knew also that it was going to go to the Supreme Court, and so they stayed their own order. So as of right now, Donald Trump can still be on the ballot in California, in Colorado. Whoops, that was a Freudian slip, because within moments, the Secretary of State in California said, we're going to try it too, because we believe that Donald Trump is guilty of insurrection. That got shot down by none other than Gavin Newsom. So Governor Newsom rejects the plan to block Trump from the 2024 California ballot video. This is Gateway Pundit that I'm quoting. So I was reading the headline like verbatim. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
California Governor Gavin Newsom is defending, in quotes, Donald Trump after the Colorado Supreme Court voted to remove him from the ballot, finding Democrats who still support democracy is rare these days. The comment from Newsom came days after Lieutenant Governor, the Secretary of State. It was actually the Lieutenant Governor, Eleni Kalinakis, called on, hold on, I'm going to the full quote, Kalinakis, I don't know how to say her name. She's the Lieutenant Governor of my state. How come I don't know how to say her name? There's no doubt that Donald Trump is a threat to our liberties and even to our democracy. But in California, we defeat candidates at the polls, according to Newsom. Everything else is political distraction, Newsom said as he shut down the idea of removing Trump from the ballot. So that's good news that he didn't fall into the crazy. So this folder I called this evening, this folder, Christmas Eve Good News. The other pieces of good news that I have is one of them I put in the folder for you to play. It's really cute if you could do that for me, Danielle.
On the Christmas
it's
Eve?
The last, Pepe Lives Matter.
Gotcha.
Right?
Mm-hmm. On the Seeds of Change, gotcha. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 da, 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 3, 2, 1.
Mangled mobile homes, splintered wood, and debris everywhere. The Holt Park mobile home community has been decimated by a tornado. I ran to the back bedroom, jumped on top of Princeton. By the time I jumped on Princeton, the walls collapsed, and then that's when the siren went off. Sydney Moore says she held on to her one-year-old Princeton, and her boyfriend tried to get to their four-month-old son, Lord. He went to try to grab Lord at the bassinet, and the roof had already came off, and the bassinet was the first thing to go up. But Lord stayed in the bassinet, like, in the air. Like, he's seen him still in the bassinet in the air. Although they did two twirls, he said, and then they got thrown. When it passed, she tells me, the first thing she screamed was, where's my baby? You can see this up here is where her pack and play is wrapped around a tree. Thank God he wasn't in it. Cindy says it was the scariest moment of her life. He finally found Lord. He was placed in a tree, like I swear to God. Like, he looked like he was placed in a tree with a gash on the side of his face right here. It was a deep, deep gash. But they glued it shut. They had to hike a mile to get out. And Lord was rushed to the hospital with a concussion and a big cut on his ear. Lord, he was crying. And I heard him crying.
and he kept like falling asleep, waking up, falling asleep, waking up.
Her boyfriend broke his collarbone. They're all banged up, but lucky to be alive.
By the grace of God, I swear, like, they survived.
Aww.
Oh.
Lord and Princeton.
Yeah, the baby's names are Lord and Prince. Yeah. And anyway, we can skip over that part.
Mm.
No comment. Let's see. The other thing, the other piece of good news that we got was that the judge is ordering the names on the Epstein client list to be released. It says the federal judge has ordered the unsealing of a number of John Does with ties to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, including some alleged perpetrators. According to Technofog, again, and somebody that I follow all the time on Telegram, on Twitter, everywhere I can get Truth Social, everywhere I can get a hold of him, is he's a pretty smart guy, but he's saying most of these names have already been revealed. And he is saying that John Does, that there's a couple that that they will not release no matter what. I wonder who those will be, because the other ones that are going to come out, I'm pretty sure Bill Gates is going to be on there. I just put a clip in the Danielle Ice folder in Telegram, and I would like for you to play that.
Going there now. Bam, is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, Ben.
You know what I mean? Yes. You have to understand. People don't read.
Yep. Hold on. Tucker, this is Tucker Carlson. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
You know what I mean? Yes.
I'm sorry. You want to set it up?
So it's Tucker Carlson, Tim Pool, and because we're on radio, you can't see that the guy that's talking has a T-shirt that said Epstein didn't Epstein himself. So you can probably get an idea of what kind of the crew is that's going to be chatting here in a moment. 3, 2, 1, take it away.
People don't relinquish power peacefully. The establishment has a lot of power that they're abusing right now. We're dealing with criminals. We're dealing with individuals that have committed psyops, that have committed horrible atrocities on the people.
Just want to just cut in and say, I want this T-shirt.
I want that T-shirt too.
The world that have started wars, that have started literal gene splicing, chemical, biological warfare against the people. So we have to understand there's going to be something that's going to be happening here that we should be absolutely paying attention to as we're dealing with essentially a multi-trillion dollar propaganda machine. But it is being wrecked by shit posters and memes. Yeah, it is being destroyed by individuals speaking truth to it. Mm. It is being destroyed by individuals coming together, coalescing, and saying, enough is enough of this bull crap. I am done. My life has value. I am standing up for myself. I am standing up for this country. And that is a danger to the establishment that they fear. And in that fear, we're dealing with a cornered animal. That cornered animal is dangerous, and they could act out in many different ways. Oh. And they're capable of anything. They're capable of something that we can't even imagine.
Luke's just cranking it right up to 11 right when we get started, so I can respect it.
So that's true, and we have to be aware. Catherine Herridge has said 2024 there will be a black swan event. And obviously,
what is a black swan event, please?
Black swan event was COVID. Black swan event was the Russia hoax. Black swan event
was 9/11. Just take that in for a second. Ouch. And Catherine, Catherine Herridge was a Fox News employee, and then
she was.
Went to
she
CNN,
got,
or?
She got fired. Now she's at CBS. And she's been truth-telling over there. They don't highlight her stuff, but she's been truth-telling over there.
Yeah.
She's an
excellent
reporter. Okay.
All right.
So
onward.
Yeah. Okay. More good news, Brandon Straka. Some of you will remember who Brandon Straka is. Some of you won't. during the 2016 election, after they stole it from Bernie Sanders, a gentleman named Brandon Straka created something called the Walk Away Campaign. He loathed Hillary.
Tracy Beans associated with that?
Yes. You're the one that told me about the Walk Away Campaign. It was him. And I love Brandon Straka. He is, you know, a handsome young man that said, we're done with the Democrat Party. We're going to walk away. We don't want them to consolidate their power, to continue to have power consolidated behind them. And he loathed Hillary Clinton because of what she did to Bernie Sanders. Throughout his campaign and career of the Walk Away Campaign, he eventually became a Trump supporter, and he was like, whatever it takes to get rid of Hillary Clinton. Okay, so he brought a lot of people, a lot of young people over, and perhaps was a part in that big, huge upset by Donald Trump. He was there on January 6th. He went to protest what I believe was a stolen election, just like literally a couple of hundred thousand Americans. Okay. He got sued by a Soros funded after that. He did jail time. He got probation for being there at January 6th. He got confinement, and he's done with that. He's on probation. But after that, again, this is all out lawfare warfare against American citizens. They sued him. It was called the DC nonprofit law firm Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Over 2 years ago, this is Brandon, I'm going to quote him. He says, I have won the J6 civil case against me by the corrupt, lying, leftist, Soros-funded DC nonprofit law firm Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Over 2 years ago, I was served in a civil lawsuit by 8 black and brown Capitol Police officers whom I've never met, had no contact with on J6, and whom I was not even within proximity of. They sued me under the KKK Act, alleging that I engaged in a white supremacist attack on black and brown police officers, that I caused their, in quotes, injuries, which include being pepper sprayed and becoming exhausted, end quote, and conspired to encroach on their civil rights. Almost every detail and allegation against me was a lie. In fact, I'll say a known lie. Knowing that I committed no violence on January 6th and didn't encourage anybody else to either, this lawsuit alleged that I violently breached the barricades of the Capitol and proceeded to attack police officers, including the plaintiffs. The case entered discovery, where we gathered evidence that conclusively showed that none of these officers were even on the side of the building I was on during my brief time on Capitol grounds. One of the plaintiffs was in Maryland at the time I was there. Me well into 6 figures to defend and hundreds of hours of my time, which is, of course, the whole point. The left has weaponized our legal system, turning Democrat majority districts into a playground where they can abuse the process to harm those who get in the way of their political agendas. But this case was even too preposterous for the DC courts, and after years of fighting, I have won. This is a much needed victory for truth, for decency, and for even a shred of restoration of our faith that justice will still exist within corners of our legal system. I thank you all who helped support me through this battle. Your support got me through, and my victory is your victory. Please share this victory with everyone you know, and God bless you all.
Oh, that's such good news. That's really good news.
It is. But I'm telling you, think about, though, Brandon Straka has a voice, and he has a following to help him pay for his legal bills. What about all the poor sucks that don't? It's still good news. I don't want to take that away from you. But I will tell you.
You're still
you
in debate mode.
I am. Okay. thanks. We're going to find out the real reason for the Mar-a-Lago raid. I have something from Brian Cates, and I also have this article from Revolver News. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm going to make a confession. I stopped watching the news. I don't have a television in my home. I get all of my news from certain sites, and I actually paid for a subscription to Revolver News. Highly recommend. Not that much money, and I love the articles that pop up there. This one says, thanks to a mysterious missing binder, are we about to find out the real reason for the Mar-a-Lago raid? Okay, you might have heard Adam Penselneck Schiff, all of a sudden he's back in the news saying that, you know, now we know Donald Trump stole a binder, okay? Keep in mind that anything that he wants to declassify as the president, he has the absolute right to do it.
Yep.
So the byline for this is just Revolver News. There's no nobody that said it was theirs, but it's just Revolver. So I can't give credit. So I'm giving it to Revolver News. Speculation about why the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago, treating Trump as if he were the villain in Scarface. Most rational thinkers are skeptical that it was about classified secrets Trump supposedly shouldn't have. Instead, it seems more likely to a particular binder brimming with details that could potentially dismantle Obama and Hillary's crossfire hurricane operation, of course. What are the odds that the regime was frantically searching for this crucial binder? CNN, what? A binder containing highly classified information related to Russian election interference, LOL, went missing at the end of Donald Trump's presidency, raising alarms among intelligence officials that some of the most closely guarded national security secrets from the U.S. and its allies could be exposed. Its disappearance, according to, listen to this, sources familiar with the matter. Don't you love that? I love that. I'm gonna borrow. Yeah. Its disappearance, which has not been previously reported, was so concerning that intelligence officials briefed Senate Intelligence Committee leaders last year about the missing materials. Who do they belong to? They belong to Donald Trump. He's the president. He gets to. Okay. Binder contained raw intelligence of U.S. and its NATO allies collected on Russians and Russian agents. Mike Davis says, we're totally going to learn soon that the actual motive for the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago was to stop the declassified crossfire hurricane documents from being released to the public. Additionally, on the last day before Trump left office, he said crossfire hurricane and the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Guess what else is in that binder? Yay. Okay. So some good news on the Seth Rich. You notice I started there, Danielle Teresa. Just a little bit of background, I'm going to set it up because I want you to play the Tucker Carlson shorts, the Julian Assange story, if you will, in just a moment.
Yep,
you have
that 14-minute one.
Is it 14 minutes? No, I got a 5-minute one. Do you want the 14? I have the shorts where he sets it up. Does he set it up at the beginning of the 14-minute one?
Yes, he does.
So you don't need the shorts. Okay. 2016 election. Again, it seems like we're kind of living in the history books again today. It was rumored that the Russians had hacked the DNC server, the Democrat National Committee server, because somebody named Julian Assange was releasing damning emails about, first of all, how Hillary Clinton stole the primary election from Bernie Sanders. A lot of starry-eyed young people were devastated, including my daughter, Danielle Teresa, at the filthy, filthy cesspool that our political arena is. They watched it happen in real time. During that process, Donald J. Trump was telling people, look, that primary got stolen from Bernie Sanders. Y'all ought to be pissed off about that. And Hillary Clinton was clutching her pearls saying, how dare you say something mean like that. And then we even get Bernie Sanders on national television with half of his face black and blue saying, y'all ought to support Hillary Clinton. Everything's just fine. So these emails start to get dumped, and they're awful. It's not just about how nasty the political arena was. We were hearing about Satanism, about pedophilia. We found out so much nasty stuff. And the officials all said, well, Russia hacked the DNC server. And you have to believe us because we have a report from someone named CrowdStrike.
Okay, and before I play that interview, I'm going to play one clip of Julian Assange while he was still semi-free during the election talking about Seth Rich before it was mainstream media news,
so isn't
right?
It interesting that, yeah, so that, my next part, I was going to talk about that, but let's hear from Julian Assange because they did not. We knew it wasn't true because Julian Assange told us it wasn't the Russians. Go.
Donald Trump has had a disastrous few weeks. If you look at the polls, he needs a miracle. In the American political lexicon, there's such a thing as the October surprise. The stuff that you're sitting on, is an October surprise in there?
Do you even know what
you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. The 27-year-old works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources are.
But why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States, and that our sources are, our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. So, that's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that. We are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it. And more importantly, a variety of WikiLeaks sources are concerned when that kind of thing happens.
Okay.
So here just recently, Tucker Carlson went to Belmarsh Prison, where Julian Assange is still being held without charges after all these years. They tried to accuse him of a rape charge, fell apart, but they still haven't let this guy go. And we've been waiting to hear this interview for quite some time, and I consider this really good news. So take it away.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Julian Assange is one of the greatest journalists of our age. He spent his entire adult life bringing previously concealed facts to the public about what our leaders are doing. That is the very definition of journalism. Yet Julian Assange is not a hero in America's newsrooms. He's an enemy. Assange made the mistake of offending the media's real constituency, which is not the public, but the power.
How's that audio?
It's good.
Okay, good.
For doing this, journalists accuse Assange of being what they are, a political operative posing as a reporter. In 2010, Assange and his organization, WikiLeaks, published an enormous cache of secret documents that revealed what the U.S. government had been doing in Iraq. Included was a 38-minute gun sight video that depicted Apache helicopters mowing down a group of civilians in Baghdad, including two Reuters employees.
There's more that keep walking. with an RPG. I'm on a fire. We got a guy shooting. Now he's behind the building. Come on, fire.
Like it's a fucking video game. I'm sorry.
It's history. Ugh. This is not some do-gooder.
I did not mean to fast forward that much. Sorry. Oh, come on. There we go.
Bulls had lied about what happened that day. At one point, the Pentagon claimed the video didn't even exist. Assange proved that it did. A few years later, Assange upended a presidential race by publishing a trove of internal emails from the Democratic Party. Democrats claimed the emails had been hacked by the Russian government, but they hadn't been. That was a lie. The emails had been leaked from within the DNC itself, almost certainly by a disgruntled employee. Those emails proved that Hillary Clinton's campaign had rigged the 2016 Democratic primary against Bernie Sanders.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but there's a difference between DNC employees and state officials, military employees, you know, that are under, you know, orders to not release information that is damaging to or classified in any
none
way.
None of it was classified.
Right?
None of it was classified. No.
Right. Exactly. The DNC leaks that they're talking about were completely different. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It was the scoop of the decade, but it was only one of many that Julian Assange broke. For the crime of upstaging them and embarrassing their patrons, the media hated Julian Assange even more.
And especially with Assange, what bothers me the most is that he hides under this sort of broad definition of a journalist. And we have to come out and say that this is not, you know, stealing and using disinformation for a foreign government is not journalism.
This is a no-brainer. This guy, Julian Assange, directed and led an organization that led to the largest breach of classified information in U.S. history. This is not some do-gooder whistleblower.
Assange is a criminal. He's damaged national security. Assange isn't a journalist. He's a criminal, squeaked the faithful servants of power. Embarrassed governments around the world agreed. The government of Sweden, acting in concert with British authorities, charged Assange with a fake sex crime. He's a rapist, they said. Global media amplified the lie. Ultimately, the charges were dropped for lack of evidence. But by that point, Julian Assange was a prisoner. He'd been driven into internal exile in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he sought political asylum. He spent more than 7 years there, unable to leave. Then, in 2017, Assange broke his last big story. WikiLeaks revealed the existence of an illegal CIA spying program. Assange withheld most of the details of that program so as not to compromise American national security. But the story was still deeply humiliating to the CIA. In Washington, CIA Director Mike Pompeo decided to murder him. Pompeo discussed with his deputies how the CIA might kidnap Assange from the embassy in London or poison him inside. That is not conjecture. Multiple witnesses heard Mike Pompeo say that. At the time, keep in mind, Julian Assange had not been charged with any crime in the United States. Mike Pompeo considered it a death penalty offense to embarrass the CIA. You may be asking, is any of this legal? Can federal appointees use tax dollars to kill people who annoy them?
Okay, sorry to interrupt again, but also Hillary Clinton is on record, I don't think they say it here, saying why can't we just drone strike him?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yep. 3, 2, 1.
Well, not technically. Mike Pompeo committed a felony, conspiracy to commit murder. And yet somehow, Mike Pompeo is not in prison. Instead, he's the toast of the donor class, a friend and advisor to the most powerful people in America. It's Julian Assange who's in prison for the crime of offending Mike Pompeo. Assange is currently being held behind bars by the British government, which has not charged him with any crime. Assange now sits in the most fortified penitentiary in the UK, Belmarsh, where every murderer in London is held. He's been there for more than 4 years, trapped in solitary confinement, cut off from his wife and two children, wasting away alone among killers and mental patients, and awaiting extradition to the United States for trial. Assange has been charged in the U.S. under the century-old Espionage Act, a transparently unconstitutional law, which is used almost exclusively to punish political crimes. yet Julian Assange has never committed espionage. Nor does the U.S. government have any real interest in trying him under that law. His current incarceration is the whole point. Torture Assange to death in jail so he will never again speak publicly. It's all so grotesque and so immoral that it's hard to believe it's actually happening in public view. Belmarsh authorities will not allow Assange to be interviewed, lest his case bring more embarrassment to the CIA. But we decided to travel there to see him anyway. It's early in the morning. The sun has just come up. We're driving through London to Belmarsh Prison to see Julian Assange. We're with his wife, Stella, in a bus. It's raining. And we're going to try to get through the cordon of maximum security guards and administrators to see him, not for an interview. No cameras are allowed, but for a conversation. How hard is it to get from the gate to see him?
Well, it's a process. So initially, you're in an external building called the Visitor Center, and they check your ID, and they take your fingerprints. They give you a badge, and you have to leave everything behind. Everything. I mean, you can't take a watch or a handkerchief or anything like that, a pen. And then you go into the main building, and then there are airlocks. So you go through the first airlock. They take your fingerprint again. They check your badge, look at your VO. It's called visiting order. And then they let you through to the kind of airport security area. So you put your shoes, your belt, jacket on an X-ray machine. Then they check you first with an arch. Then they check you with a wand under your feet and front and back. Then you go to a pat-down search, and they look inside your mouth, behind your ears and your hair. And then pat you down under your feet as well. And then you can put your shoes back on. Then you go through another airlock, and then you cross a yard, and then you get into the interior building. Check your fingerprints again. Then there's a dog search. And once the dog search is through, then you're through to the visiting hall where they take your fingerprints again.
Are you filled with rage toward the people who are doing this?
I'm beyond rage. You know, I think I don't understand the cruelty. I mean, I don't understand how people can be human beings and actually go along with it or drive it. You know, I don't understand how a human being can do this to another human being. And just the effect it has on Julian, what is being done to him, you know, he doesn't have contact with the outside world, and the little contact he has is with, you know, very serious criminals and violent people and, you know, dangerous people, and that he can't be with his family, that we're only able to see him a few hours, 1 or 2 hours a week. It's just it's kind of, rage doesn't describe it, because I'm in the middle of it and I just cannot understand it.
So we're going into prison to be fingerprinted 4 times and searched and sniffed by dogs in order to visit the notorious terrorist criminal, Julian Assange, who's not actually been charged with anything. We're heading out. Oh! Say a prayer.
So we're going to do a sit-down, but any quick thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's just a total outrage. I mean, it's a total outrage that they're holding him.
We still have 4 minutes, 5 minutes left. Should we keep going or no?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I have not heard the last 5 minutes.
Well, then there we go.
Okay. All right, here we go. Oh, come on.
that man who hasn't committed or even been charged with a crime in this country. I mean, that's a, you know, maximum security prison filled with murderers. And the people who reside there, the inmates, are treated like animals. And he's not an animal. He's a journalist who has committed no crime. And so anyone who's in favor of that, anyone who supports his continued torture, is your enemy. Who's the enemy of free expression, of free speech, of the basic liberties that used to define the United States. So, you know, the people who support that should have to answer for it, in my opinion. It's disgusting what they're doing. Disgusting. Assange looks like press photographs of him, maybe older, pale. He hasn't been outside in 13 years. Bearded, longish hair. He's a big man, tall. He seemed better physically than press accounts had led me to believe. I keep reading that he's ailing. I'm not his doctor. I just spent, you know, a little over an hour talking to him, but I thought he seemed very focused. He seemed much more cognitively dialed in than I was led to believe. Dressed in gray sweatshirt and sweatpants, prison issued. He's a prisoner. All the prisoners in the room had fluorescent yellow armbands to signify they were the prisoners. And, you know, I was very focused on the conversation with him because there was a lot I wanted to ask him and a lot I've been thinking about for as I've watched his case over the last, I mean, almost 20 years. So I had a lot of questions. But it was hard not to notice, if you've never been in a prison meeting room, I mean, there's a lot of human drama unfolding all around you. And little children, he has little children. He and Stella have little kids. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to see prisoners with their children or their wives. And someone who's been married for over 30 years, the idea of being separated from your wife for any period of time is, you know, it makes you feel claustrophobic thinking about it. We talked about why he is in prison. And my first question to him was, what do you think this is actually about, since you haven't been accused of a crime? And he said something that really struck me. And I think, having spent my life in Washington, is absolutely right. He said he first became famous when WikiLeaks published documents and videos that the U.S. government had kept secret from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. They were gravely embarrassing to the Pentagon. But that wasn't the red line. The red line was several years later when WikiLeaks published information about surveillance by the CIA. And so I asked him directly, are you aware of anyone being harmed or killed on the basis of information they published? He said, of course not. And he said it in a sincere way. Like, by the way, I think if people were killed because of his publishing, because of the stories that he put online, he would feel bad about it. I mean, he seems like a humane person. He withheld information about CIA because he didn't want to get people hurt. He famously published the contents of Hillary Clinton's email account going back to the late 2010s, 2009, 2010, as I remember. And there were enormously embarrassing details in these emails, including the text of her suck-up speeches to Goldman Sachs. And at the time, she was pretending to be a friend of the people. This was really damaging to her, and she was enraged by it. And he was also at the center of really one of the baffling stories of our time, which was the leak of the emails from the Democratic National Committee, which were blamed on Russia. Russia clearly had nothing to do with it. There's no evidence Russia had anything to do with it at all. And I think there are quite a few indications that those emails were leaked by a DNC employee who was mad that the Hillary Clinton campaign was being helped by the DNC and the Bernie Sanders campaign was being hurt.
Seth Rich.
Very interesting story with a lot of lying.
Right.
And potentially some other things. But I asked him, when you published these emails, did you realize how powerful Hillary Clinton was? We had a conversation about that. And I said, looking back, you know, do you regret doing that? He goes, honestly, it was fun. And I love that.
Meaning that he did know.
Yeah. Yeah. history in the making, right in front of our very eyes. Isn't that amazing?
When we've been in the game as long as you and I have, you longer than me,
right.
It's not a surprise.
No, none of it.
Not all right. Please either proceed with the good news report or Christmas report or the coal in your stockings report, any of them.
Okay. I just shut my computer down. So I'm going to tell you my good news.
Okay.
My
great.
Piece of good news in Palace is done.
Amen.
Amen. And I would say right. On time, even though, you know, I know we've been talking about this for goodness sakes, probably about a year now, moving the chickens, probably maybe even more than a year. And it has been quite the project.
It sure has.
And it got started.
I have a dream
that my chickens will be safe. And that they will be farther away from the back of my home for a myriad reasons. And we're not going to go into any of those. Although, if you remember, this conversation started, and it was, I'm pretty sure it's more than a year ago. Right around a year, because a bobcat came in our yard and killed a bunch of my chickens. And I'm sorry.
Did we name the bobcat?
We didn't name the bobcat, but I would go with asshole. Pardon my French.
I was going to call it Bob, but asshole works better, I think.
And so from there, we've, you know, had lots of debates and, you know, where are we going to put it? How are we going to do it? Are we going to tear stuff down and put up new and on and on and on and on? So what we did was we did a little bit of a blend of the old and the new. We used the old greenhouse. A recycled greenhouse to for the actual coop where they will be sleeping and laying eggs. And for people that don't know, you know, a lot about chickens, you have to have a coop and then you have to have a place for them to, it's called a run, for them to cruise around during the day. Now, many people have this bucolic idea that you can let your chickens free range. And it's really cool to be able to let your chickens free range if it's at all possible. But we have a real problem with predators where I live. Even though I live in a very tight community, it's, you know, overbuilt. Perhaps that's why we have a lot of predators in my area. But everybody wants everybody. And so it's not possible to let them free range. So what you have to do is you have to provide them a large space for something that we call the run. Okay, because chickens also need to be able to get away from each other or they will fight. Okay? It's something called resource guarding, and space is one of the resources that they guard. So we created a huge space up here by the house, and it was okay for a while, but it's turned out to be not that great, and it couldn't protect them from the bobcat, right?
Yes.
So what we did was we decided between all of us, we designed this big, beautiful space, again, blending the old greenhouse that we covered and made into a really nice chicken coop, and then a big run. It's done. Okay.
Wasn't the run, or, I'm sorry, the coop, now the greenhouse, was that not a grow-out situation in the past?
We did have them down there for a little while, yes. And so that's okay. Why it wasn't too much of a stretch to say, yes, this can work. It has some challenges because it's round-shaped, so you have to do some specific things to keep it covered and tight because the coop part has to be dry, draft-free, kind of dark for them to feel safe to lay their eggs, right? Those are the sort of the, and they have to be able to get enough air through there because of ammonia from their pee and poop and just all the lots of, you know, requirements, right?
Correct.
So we got all of that done. It's we're going to be moving the birds in on January the 14th.
Well, that's why I started with I Have a Dream.
It's, I Have a Dream, January.
Yep,
right. Mm-hmm. We're doing Martin Luther King birthdays weekend. And the dream is that our chickens will be safe and be able to be as free as is humanly, chickenly possible, and have, you know, plenty of.
So are you saying they should be as free as a bird?
Free as a bird. Oh my gosh. my chicken's free. And it's beautiful. I like it. I'm excited. There, of course, there's always going to be one or two things that still have to be done. And we can, you know, talk about those at another time, but I'm super, that's my really, really good news. The other main piece of good news is that we have a savior that loves us, and I'm celebrating his birth, even though that's a Gregorian calendar versus what really happened, who knows. But we celebrate.
We'll all have our differences in calendars, even.
We do celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 24th, going into December 25th. And I'm looking forward to that. So the other piece of good news is that I'm going to see my beautiful daughter tomorrow and her amazing, wonderful husband, and we're going to cook Mexican food, which is kind of tradition in our family. Something called carnitas, and that is this really wonderful, soft, tender pork that we mix with all of the traditional gringo-wise sides with refried beans and tortillas and guacamole and salsa and all that other really good stuff. So that's my good news. We did say that we were going to do sort of a shortened version of Seeds of Change today, and it did turn out to be that. But I still think the very best news is that Seth Rich is going to be and I'm going to continue to say that young man's name until it's all revealed who murdered that young man. I'm happy for Brandon Straka, another sweet young man that was as starry-eyed as my kid when it came to getting involved in politics, I think, for the very first time in his young life. And then, you know, having sort of the blindfold ripped off to realize just how disgusting these people really are. So he was finally vindicated and, you know, set free from the lawfare that we're experiencing in this country. And I believe that Donald Trump will be vindicated as well. And just like John Michael, I have made this prediction on Steve's radio, but he's going to be your next president if they don't kill him.
Uh-huh. And John Michael said the same.
Yep. So that's my prediction, and I'm happy about it because we did have a strong economy and no wars under Donald Trump, which, I mean, you can't really – it doesn't get much better than that. We had a semi-secure border. We had a great economy. It was roaring. And he didn't start any new wars. And you know, that's what I want presidents to do. I don't want them meddling, letting the CIA run rampant across the globe, you know, tearing down duly elected governments. I don't want them doing that. And I want them to be exposed.
Absolutely. Is Nala telling you you're energized?
Yeah, she is. She's bugging the crap out of me right now and to get me to play. I took her outside. I was trying to play it off during the Tucker interview about Julian Assange so that, you know, I could get her off my back, but it didn't work because now she's bugging me even more. So anyway.
Stick in the backyard. Yeah, and get a cat or two. Okay, so that is definitely another, a debate for another day, which is urban chicken farms and how to protect them from predators. And I keep saying cats, and your friend at Rescue Ruse Adopt-A-Cock are the same, right?
Yes. She's coming that's a big Move the Chicken Day. Move the Chicken Day. She's coming because I want the kids to come. I want you to come. I'm going to ask for other volunteers because we're going to dip the chickens in that medicine on the way down the hill. Oh, God. Of course, I have to complicate things, but I don't want to
I get it. I get it. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think we should video a lot of it and play clips on Seeds of Change that weekend, don't you?
Yes, for sure, except I also think we need to pre-plan and get volunteers to come. This needs to be a free the cock, celebration, I think.
It does free the cock celebration. And we can get, we can hear from Deborah and her wonderful rescue. It is Rescue Rooster Adopt a Cock in the Port of Los Angeles. There's always extra roosters that people don't want to kill.
And can't keep.
And can't feed. And besides, there's, zoning issues with people keeping roosters. And
yeah. I said keep, not feed, but you're right also.
Right. And so she takes in hundreds of roosters. She just posted the other day, what was the final count that she's adopted back out, which is rehomed?
Good Lord. Thousands,
It's over 1,000. I'll tell you that right now.
1,300 perhaps is the rooster recount. And again, in Southern California, it's not a matter of feed. We can feed roosters. We can't keep them because of the noise violations.
Right. And then we've run up against that for years now. I'm on her page. She posted just the other day what the last count was. And I'm, so if I sound like a goofball, that's what I'm doing though.
Fine. I get it.
Okay.
Find the total because, it's pretty crazy in Southern California.
1,195 birds rehomed since February of 2021. 1,195, which I think is so cool. Just beautiful. So she's a dear friend. She loves all animals. She's got, I think probably 20 cats by now that she's rescued, and they all live in her coop area and they're out doing their job. She's just an animal fan. I think she's got 5 dogs too. Bless her heart. She's going to come. I'm going to get as many people as possible to come and help us. And we will video it and share it on Seeds of Change.
Yes, that's wonderful. This is kind of a TBD thing because I really do think we can get a lot of people together to get cats, to get roosters, to animal proof, to learn how to animal proof when it comes to chickens. I really do. Go ahead.
I'd love to do a segment on that, on ways to protect your animals. Make them, keep them safe. I sure wish this was a video because I could show you this coop that we built came directly out of my head, and every feature that it features is something that has, been caused by learning something really sad, hard way of how predators get in.
Yeah.
Sure would love to be able to show people.
Yeah, because everybody loves to eat chicken, right? So we have to make sure that everything is secure when it comes to a run and a coop and roosts and everything around it, right? We have to make sure that our chickens survive or we don't get eggs, right? So
we end up with dead chickens. For example, did you know, that skunks eat chickens is one of a list of predators, and that, skunks can shrink themselves to 70% of their real size. Their bones move enough that they could fit through a hole that you wouldn't believe. So when Danielle, we have to really, I mean, like every square inch of it has to be covered with something called hardware cloth to prevent small animals, big animals, all animals that want to eat chickens from getting at them. So it's
correct.
been quite an adventure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving the chicken palace, are we calling it the chicken palace? We've had several other names, but Coop Palace, is that what we're going with?
Coop Palace, yeah. Okay, yeah.
You know, yeah, Taj Mahal, the Coupe de Hall has also been, the very first one. Do you remember the very first one it was in Carlsbad and we got some kind of a run or a coop or a, you know, enclosure for chickens. And because they were getting rid of it because they were building the chicken,
Yeah, they were building a chicken palace, coop.
What was the term that they called it, that they were getting rid of a portable one, basically, because they were building, you know, a palace?
I don't remember.
Thought it was something else. Just right down the street, right on, like, Tamarack, almost.
Yeah, I remember now. That's coming back to me. We used that coop, that little coop, for a long time.
Yeah. But the people who were selling it, they were building a chicken palace, but they called it something else. But, like, I forget what it was now. But basically, they were building what we were trying to build, what we are building now.
And we should have listened to them. way back all those years ago, we should have listened.
Absolutely. All right, I think that's probably a good time to stop. This is usually the time I stop show. We close usually at 6 o'clock, but we're 30 minutes. Yeah, I think it's probably time to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Absolutely. And then back on New Year's Eve. That's the next show is New Year's Eve.
I'm looking forward to it. All right. Bless you. And I love you. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Awesome. All right. Good night. We love you all. We'll see you next week.